In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To me, the Feast of Ascension cries out with sorrow. It's a sorrow that you would feel when you drop off a loved one at the airport for an extended trip, maybe to an international destination. It's the sorrow of a parent leaving their child at the dorm as that child begins their freshman year of college. It's the sorrow of saying goodbye to a loved one in the military who is being deployed. It's the sorrow, perhaps, of saying goodbye to someone who's been a part of your church community for decades, and now that they're retiring, they're moving away. It's the sorrow of a grandparent who cannot yet travel to meet a new grandbaby. It's the solemn sorrow of a funeral. Jesus leads his disciples out to the outskirts of Bethany, which itself is on the outskirts of Greater Jerusalem, and Jesus blesses his disciples. He wishes them well, and then he withdraws from them. He's gone. What a tragedy for these disciples. They were a diverse group who didn't seem to belong together anyway. Some of them natural enemies whose only commonality was their love of Jesus. And in Jesus, they had this leader who had claimed the mantle of Messiah, but sure didn't seem interested in being a Messiah like anything they had ever imagined. Skulking around in the backwaters of Galilee, healing a person here or there. Jesus didn't seem at all concerned about raising an army, summoning Israel, and driving out the Romans. Instead, the king of Israel was nailed to a Roman cross, and all the disciples' hopes were permanently, unquestionably, absolutely crushed. Until they weren't. 3 days later, Jesus strode into their midst and asked for something to eat. Jesus, their friend, the wonder worker, the maybe Messiah, the crucified. He was alive and well and with them again. The world had been turned upside down and all the rules were broken, but their friend Jesus was present once more. Who knew what the future held? But here, finally, in our reading tonight, the disciples found out exactly what the future held, because Jesus left them again. Jesus withdrew. And the apostles understood that they would see him no more. Not the ways that they had been seeing him. Not in the intimacy of a conference in an inner room, or an early morning breakfast on the beach. He withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. What were they supposed to do with that? Well, what they did was they worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. In the end, it turns out the disciples had been listening to what Jesus had been saying. They did understand his message. They accepted that Jesus was a different kind of Messiah than what they were expecting. They believed Jesus when he told them that his ascension would be a good thing. They heard his promise of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter, who would dwell with them and in them, so that they might dwell in Jesus, even as Jesus dwelt in the Father. Somehow, being bereft of the physical presence of Jesus would enable them to draw even closer to Jesus and into the very heart of God. This trust that the disciples had, this is our inheritance all these years later. And that trust is a challenging thing in any time. In the era of COVID-19, I think it's extra difficult. Because we are deprived for a time of one another's company. We are deprived for a time of our beautiful buildings. We are deprived for a time of the sacraments, of those practices that have nourished us and comforted us for so many years. All of that has been withdrawn from us, even if only temporarily. But because Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter, dwells in us. In this particular season, it turns out, our calling is not to cling to the physical artifacts that remind us of Jesus, not to cling to buildings and sacraments, not to put all our hope in wishful thinking about getting back to normal. Instead, we are called, we are invited to release all these things that brought us comfort before, and to allow God to approach us in a new way. We are invited to take notice of the Holy Spirit that is at work within each of us. Someday, indeed, we will again begin to gather together, but not soon and not quickly. It could be months or even a year or two until we're all ready to crowd in together into our little nave. And so in the meantime, I urge you not to let this opportunity slip away. God is here in the present, and God is inviting you and I to know God in a new way, to pursue God along fresh paths, to develop new habits of prayer and worship and service and fellowship. God is inviting St. Thomas to grow in our faith. That's what this time is for, to grow in our faith, so that when we do return to meeting together, we will be different. We will be changed. St. Thomas is not a museum. We instead, when we gather together, will be a people who have deepened our capacity to seek first the kingdom of God. People who have learned to hold lightly, even to relinquish when the times call for it, those things that are secondary. My friends, we are not victims. We are not suffering any more than human beings have suffered in the past or will suffer in the future. We are, it's true, experiencing discomfort, and that discomfort is an invitation. That discomfort is a sign that our loving God is at work among us. And so this is our time to return with the disciples to Jerusalem with great joy and to learn to dwell continually in the temple of prayer, blessing our God. Amen.